Hey guys, and welcome to the show. I'm Kylie, your host and dietitian. My goal with the show is to give you all the science-based facts about gut health and how you can optimize it to achieve your goals, whether that be weight, energy, mood, autoimmune conditions, digestion, bloating, focus, and just your overall metabolism so you can look and feel your best. No matter where you are in your journey, this show will serve to better your health both physically and mentally. Because if we keep giving our gut love, then we keep reaping all the benefits. I started the show because a lot of gut health approaches out there neglect the other systems of our body. And I've seen firsthand with my clients how this can wreck your energy, your mood, your weight, and your metabolism. So in order to get the best results, we need to look at gut health and how it relates to the other systems in our body, like glucose and hormones. So that's what I'll do here. I'll be bringing some of the world's top experts that understand the science of metabolism and how to apply it to your life. When it comes to nutrition, my motto is simplify your approach to amplify your life. So starting now, I want you to ignore all the complicated information about gut health and be ready to implement simple tools that will change your life. Hey guys, and welcome back to the show. On today's episode, we are covering the toxins that affect our gut health, hormone health, and overall health. These toxins can lead to digestive issues, weight gain, brain fog, and many other physical ailments. And these are toxins that come from certain food products, cosmetics, lotions, cleaning supplies, and more. And this is a really important topic because often when we go on a wellness journey, we spend time getting more products, like different food products because we want healthier alternatives, or supplements, or candles because we want to de-stress, or serums and creams because we want to take care of our skin. But often these items that we purchase do more harm than good. And that's because they contain toxins that are harmful to our gut microbes and our hormones. That's why I brought on Dr. Vivian Chen, who is a UK-trained medical doctor with 15 years of clinical experience. She is board certified in the UK in both internal medicine and family practice. Her world turned upside down when her daughter was hospitalized soon after being born with symptoms that no doctor could figure out. Through doing her own research, she was able to help her daughter recover. She also realized that many years of chronic fatigue, acne, and brain fog she had was due to environmental toxicity. This opened the world of root causes she had never considered before as a conventional medical doctor. She now coaches clients back to health virtually by identifying root causes and implementing lifestyle solutions. She's also on a mission to help people reduce their toxin load because she believes environmental toxins to be one important root cause of many chronic health conditions. So I'm really excited to have her on today. This topic can be quite overwhelming and frustrating because we want to run back home and clean out everything, but this can be just, you know, too much. And we obviously can't live in a bubble. So we do the best we can. And instead of being overwhelmed by this episode, just take one change that you can make and start there. So I hope you enjoy the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as with any episode, if you have any questions about the show, feel free to DM me. And we are live. Vivian, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Kylie. I'm a big fan of your work. Thank you for putting out all the education and the goodness into the world. So it's an absolute honor to be speaking to you today.
Oh my gosh. And likewise, your page is pretty much my Bible when it comes to all the toxins that be avoiding.
So, thank you.
No, it's so educational and so much great information. And I really love how you come at it from with everything from a scientific perspective, but a holistic approach. You're not too extreme with let's live in a bubble and not be realistic. But on the other hand, right. You know, let's do what we can because our systems are already so overloaded. So let's not make it even worse. So we're going to dive right into some of the questions. I love to keep these episodes short and sweet, even though with you, I feel like probably talk forever about all these things. So can you start by telling us, like, why are these toxins, and we'll talk about some toxins and where they come from, but before that, why are they harmful to our health and specifically our gut health as well, our gut health and our hormones?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you're talking about this in terms of gut health and hormones, because a lot of the time we see Band-Aid, even people in the kind of integrative space who talk about root causes, and they're talking about gut health and hormone imbalance. But what is at the root of that? What's causing your gut dysbiosis or hormone imbalance, right? Toxins is an important part of that root cause. And the reason is because these toxins can actually affect so many different functions in our body. There's not a single organ in our body that the function is not interrupted by or disturbed by toxins. So toxins, for example, can inhibit our enzymes. And enzymes are kind of like the workhorse in our body. They get things done. They get jobs and processes done. So for example, we need enzymes just to detoxify from toxins. We need enzymes to make energy. And so they can interfere with things like our mitochondrial function. And mitochondria produces energy. And without energy, we start to feel fatigued. We can get brain fog. And some of these toxins can be direct neurotoxins as well. So they can harm our brain cells and the cells in our nervous system and can lead to brain fog again, or even cognitive decline, memory problems, insomnia, numbness, tingling, even motor symptoms like weakness in our muscles. And a very, very important area they can affect us is in our immune system and the endocrine system. So the endocrine system is basically a system of organs that produce hormones. And hormones are chemical messengers in our bodies. Hormones travel in the blood and tell our cells what to do. And so, for example, the sex hormones like estrogen, progesterone, they regulate our menstrual cycle, they regulate fertility, and testosterone is responsible for sperm production in men. And then we have thyroid hormones, which govern our metabolism, control our weight, our temperature. So the hormone system is a big, big system where these toxins can interrupt, and they're known as endocrine disruptors. So things like PCB, dioxins, heavy metals, BPA, parabens. And then, you know, you're very passionate about gut health, and toxins can directly cause dysbiosis. So they can disturb the balance of bacteria in our gut. And also some toxins can lead to increased intestinal permeability, aka leaky gut, and cause inflammation. And we know now that inflammation is at the root of so many chronic inflammatory diseases. Sorry, the list is so long.
No. That's why I'm not even saying anything. This is all such great info to understand, because we hear toxins, but you're really explaining how they affect our body, and this makes us care more. So this is great.
So they really affect us in a myriad of different ways. And, you know, when I first started making the realization and started looking into toxins, it dawned on me that they affect so many different processes, and that people are not really digging enough when they're not talking about environmental toxins. Is always going to be a piece of the puzzle. How big that piece is depends on the individual, your genetics, and your lifestyle. Unfortunately, the world we live in now, environmental toxins affect all of us.
No, from the environment, from food, from cosmetics, like so many things. And I think this is becoming more and more important, because obviously more food is coming in packages. People are taking more supplements, especially when it comes to the health space. The focus is still so much on calories. And when people are focusing on calories, a lot of times they will see a food that has 100 calories, but if you flip it over, half of it is made from toxins and preservatives. And so who cares if it's 100 calories?
What is that doing? Yeah, to your microbiome, for example.
Exactly. So maybe you're not ingesting so many calories, but the long-term and even short-term effects on the metabolism and your digestion and your ability to make energy and burn energy are compromised. So wouldn't you rather have that 300 calorie thing that is more natural and doesn't have all the chemicals? So it's really in everything. And you mentioned some of the symptoms. Like, of course, all of us, you know, ingest toxins and we have a certain toxin load. But what are, I guess, some symptoms that listeners can look out for to make them kind of think, oh, you know, maybe I am having too many toxins in my body. It's time to do something about it. I know you said migraines. So what are some of those symptoms?
That's a great question. And the symptoms really overlap with a lot of other conditions. So what I'm about to talk about is not, you know, they're not just indications of toxic overload. It could be because of other chronic conditions. But if you go back to what we were talking about in how toxins can affect us. So for example, if it's affecting your gut and causing inflammation there, you could have issues with bloating, diarrhea, constipation, reflux, indigestion, the difficulty absorbing your nutrients if there's a lot of inflammation in your gut, hormonal imbalance. So if toxins are endocrine disruptors, it could be affecting with your menstrual cycle. It could be causing PMS, so a lot of breast tenderness or very heavy periods, mood swings, even fertility issues. It could also, a lot of toxins have now been implicated in insulin resistance, so increasing your chances of developing type 2 diabetes, weight loss resistance, difficulty with weight regulation, because these toxins are directly acting on our receptors that tell us that we're full and to stop eating. And on that same vein, we can have brain symptoms of brain fog, memory issues, numbness, tingling, even loss of balance. And for a lot of people, skin issues is the outward symptom that they get. So eczema, acne. When I see skin issues, I always go to the gut because the skin is kind of like the outward representation of what's going inside. So yeah, those are some of the common symptoms that suggest toxic overload.
Yeah, so really systemic, and I'm assuming in each person it can manifest in different ways.
Absolutely.
For those who feel like they're doing everything right, eating right, working out, their stress is low, they're sleeping well, you know, kind of doing everything lifestyle-wise, they're kind of hitting all those points but are still struggling with something, then be looking at the toxins is kind of the next step. Can you tell us, so there's a lot of food-related toxins from pesticides, and we talked about packaged foods a little bit. What are some of like the non-food ones that you find are really toxic that people might not think about?
If we start talking about individual chemicals, we can just get lost in the mounds and mounds of chemicals there are. So I look at it in the what we do on a daily basis. So we eat food, we breathe air, and we drink water, and we shower and put things on our body. So those are the big categories. And where you start doesn't really matter, because I get asked a lot, where do I start? Like, what's the most important thing I should do right now? And I always say, like, the most important thing is just to identify one area and just do that. So it kind of a lot depends on where you live and how you live as well. So, for example, if you live in the countryside and your air quality is pristine, you probably don't need to do too much about your air quality. Like, just open your windows and make sure a clean air is coming into your house, because we know that indoor air can be more polluted than outdoor air due to off-gassing from things like furniture and your cleaning products. So you might want to just kind of look at your cleaning products, because those might be releasing VOCs and things like chlorine, which are irritants. And also, if you inhale those, they can affect your microbiome in your lungs and also in your gut as well. So cleaning products, thinking about using fragrance based products like air fresheners or candles, those can be releasing endocrine disruptors into the air that you're breathing. So we breathe 11,000 liters of air per day. It's a really, really big entry point for toxins that's in the, they're lurking in the air. We're breathing them into the body. So that's one area to look at. And it really depends on where you live.
I think the candles one is so interesting, because often people light candles trying to improve their wellness and de-stress and kind of create this healthy environment. Little do we know that then we're just breathing a ton of toxins and it's actually having the opposite effect. So I feel like that's Absolutely. Where it gets so frustrating.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said about taking a balanced approach to a non-toxic lifestyle, because it's not all or nothing, right? Like you said, candles can improve your quality of life and de-stress. And stress is a big toxin in our life that's invisible, that we're not really thinking about. And some people, like a lot of my clients, go to the other extreme, right? They want to remove every single trace of toxin from their life, and it's actually not possible. And it's just going to stress them out. And then that's going to cause inflammation and gut dysbiosis in and of itself.
No winning.
Right, exactly. So The candle, like, I personally love candles. And so what I do is just try to look for better ingredient candles so that I can still enjoy them, knowing they're not perfect, but that's okay. Because if I'm doing something to just reduce my overall toxic load, then my detox organs will take care of whatever I encounter, right? There's no need to really stress about every single encounter.
Right. Yeah. And I love that you said that, because as long as we're supporting our detox organs, focusing on not overloading them, that's really the most important part. And I think when we hear the word detox nowadays, a lot of times people think of detox powders and colonics, right, and some of the right, really, really iffy things that actually have the opposite effect. So
exactly.
I think supporting our incredible detox organs and letting them do their job by not overloading them is really the key here.
Yeah. And that's why I love your feed so much, because you speak to that and, you know, you bring the truth out of, like, hey, you know, these greens powder, they may not be like what you think they are, right? Sound
might
good
and
they're very right, they're convenient, but is it the same as eating kale? No.
Right,
there's no shortcuts, unfortunately. Right, exactly. I wish too. So I think the biggest takeaway is, in all of these household products, that I'm not asking everyone to be experts at reading label, but the one name that you want to be looking for is the word fragrance, because fragrance is a kind of umbrella term, catch-all term that is used by many companies to encompass harmful chemicals like phthalates. And phthalates are one of the biggest endocrine disruptors that's used in everyday products. And phthalate is what fixes scent to a product. So if you use an air freshener, it's what makes the scent stick around in the air longer. So if you diffuse essential oils, for example, you know that the smell goes away pretty quickly. But if you use an air freshener with phthalates, that smell can stick around for a long time. And, you know, if you wash your clothes and 5 days later, you can still smell your laundry detergent, that's phthalates.
Wow.
Yeah. So that phthalates being linked to insulin resistance, weight gain, reproductive toxicity, so infertility, miscarriages, and even neurodevelopmental problems. So phthalate is a big, big no-no. And one good way to identify it is to look for the term fragrance. And if you see fragrance, if you really love the product, you can contact the company and ask, hey, what did you put in this fragrance? What is it? What are the ingredients? And if they don't tell you, I just wouldn't use the product. Or if you're just kind of out shopping and you see fragrance, go for another product that doesn't say fragrance on it.
Right. And that's so important, because so many things have fragrance in them and we obviously love them and we want our clothes to smell good. But when we know how much it affects our body, and I think there's some times we hear like, well, I don't really care about toxins. But then when people understand that it affects their weight and their energy, that's when it's like, okay, then maybe my clothes smelling good isn't the most important thing. And I'm willing to give that up.
Yeah. And then sometimes we got to backtrack and think about why we're even wanting to smell like raspberries, right? Like yeah. we've been conditioned by marketing ploys by these companies to want our clothes to smell good. But our ancestors never, like, if clothes don't smell bad, I think that's the goal, right? We don't want
right.
to smell like meadows and roses.
Right.
But we've been conditioned to want that. And similarly, we've been conditioned to believe that we need all these products in our house, right? Like, we need a product for bathroom. We need a product for the bathtub and one for the faucet and one for the kitchen. Like, no, we don't. Like, if you kind of strip it all back, a lot of the clean ingredients, it's very basic, right? You know, vinegar can do a great job. Baking soda can do a great job, and it can clean bathtub as well as your kitchen sink. So yeah, kind of taking a step back and really thinking about what you really, really need rather than what companies want to need.
We are so tempted by all the marketing, and we think that when it says floor on it, we have to use alpha floor because the other one is not going to work. But in reality,
right.
they just want us to buy a bunch of products. And we
yes.
always have to remember that they don't have our health and well-being in favor. They want our money. And we have to be the more conscious and educated consumers. So
Cleaning supplies, super important one. The indoor air, I think that you mentioned, you know, a lot of people think that outdoor air is actually more polluted, but hopefully now listeners can open their windows when they can, obviously weather permitting, but just airing out your home can be one of the easiest things that everybody Absolutely. Can do right now without stressing out. And then what about plastics and cans? So now there's, you know, the whole no BPA, but we're replacing it with another chemical that's still toxic. Is that true? Or if it says BPA free, is it actually better?
Yeah, that's a great question. And what you just asked is true. So when BPA was phased out, companies found another way to use alternative kind of similar products that would give the same properties. That's not called BPA, but has the same similar kind of chemical properties. So BPF, BPS, and they've been also found to have the same impact on our health as well. So I think that if you can get away from plastic, that is ideal. I know it's not possible in every circumstance. Sometimes we eat out and we get takeout and things like that. It's not always possible, but if you can try to phase plastic out and replace with stainless steel and glass, just because we don't know what the alternative thing is that the companies are using in its place. And it's not just BPA, BPS, BPS. There are other, it can contain phthalates again, right? So these can all leach into the food. And particularly if your food is acidic or if the food is hot, there's more leaching. It's the same scenario with cookware now, right? So we know Teflon is not good because of a group of chemicals called PFAS, the thing that makes the Teflon nonstick. And so PFOA has been phased out, but the companies are now replacing it with a similar chemical that, you know, has a, it's very similar structure, but it's just not called PFOA. The Gen X group of chemicals are now being used. And so now they can say PFOA free, but does it mean it's safe? We don't know. And time will tell. More studies are needed.
Right.
So I feel like what we know to be safe is cookware is like stainless steel, cast iron, and we know glass is safe. Stainless steel is safe. Making a switch to those is probably a great move if you can, and you know, when your finances allow. And with cans, yeah, so the inside of cans can be coated with BPA. And if you're buying acidic food, again, so things like tomatoes, that can cause increased leaching of BPA into the food. Studies have shown that people who eat more canned food has higher levels of BPA in their urine. The good news is, though, is that if you stopped eating canned food, the urine level goes down very rapidly because we have detox organs. We can get rid of these things. So again, just minimizing, and I know cans are very convenient, but there are cans that's BPA free. Whether they use the alternative kind of related chemical, I don't know, possibly.
We would assume so.
Right. And then also there's jars, glass jars for these products now. So that's what I try to do. It is more expensive.
It's an investment in our body.
Right. It's a trade-off.
So yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And I think with the cookware, that's like a really, I think one of the first switches that I made because I thought, you know, it has contact with the food. I use it every single day and it's not that tough to switch out. You know, now there's so many more affordable stainless steel options. You don't have to get the really expensive, intense, like iron ones. Of course, it's not as convenient because it sticks a bit more, but I think that the pros outweigh the cons with that little bit of inconvenience.
Absolutely. For me, for sure. Yeah. And it also depends on where your life stage and your health, right? If you're planning to get pregnant soon or you're actually pregnant, these things really matter a lot more because we know that these chemicals can cross the placenta and through breast milk into babies. So if you're finances are restricted, it's about kind of looking at your overall exposure and taking steps there.
Right. And with the cans, that was really interesting as well. So we're assuming that even if it says BPA free lining, they could replace it with another chemical that leaches in. But you're saying that the worst is when it's acidic foods like tomatoes, tomato right. sauce. So if possible to get those like in the glass jars. And what about if it's, for example, I have a lot of clients asking about beans just because beans take a while to make and it's super convenient in a can. What would you say about that? Is that better?
They're not acidic, right? So it's right. probably going to be better than tomatoes. And the only thing is, and I don't know, because you work with a lot of clients with gut issues, I'm assuming.
Yes.
So beans can make a lot of people bloated. And I think that the beans that are cooked in cans, they're literally like put into the can raw, and then they're just cooked in that can. So they're not soaked to reduce like the anti-nutrients and things. And sometimes people find those beans to cause more gas than if they prepared it themselves. So in terms of toxicity, it's probably not as much of an issue, although you can now also buy beans in glass jars too. So that would be definitely be a preferred option if you can. But if you can't, then canned beans, I use them as well. In a pinch, I use them.
Right. Okay. So a good, ideally too, I feel like from a bloating perspective, using like a pressure cooker and like you said, soaking is ideal. But at least if they're better than the acidic foods in a can, then hopefully
yes,
it's okay to use, like you said, when you need something quick and easy.
Absolutely. And but, you know, what? I just did some stories on beans yesterday. Oh, sorry to interrupt you. But
No.
I know it takes a while to cook if every time you need a bean, just like soaking and cooking them. But what I do is I batch cook. So I make a big batch of beans and then I freeze them in silicone bags so that I always have a bag of black beans, a bag of pinto beans, a black bag of white navy beans in my freezer. And because the stasher bags are flexible, you can actually literally just portion out exactly what you need. And in a way, it's even more convenient than canned because sometimes I just like need a half a cup, right? I don't need like the whole can. It's a great money-saving tip too. I know it takes time, but it's like one, if I make beans one time, I can use it over 2 weeks rather than having to make it every single time.
That's amazing. Yeah. And using the silicone bags in the freezer, I feel like for beans or anything else, you know, even if you're making like rice or anything that takes a while, I feel like that's a great tip. So yeah, I love that. I'm going to have to start doing that.
Thank you.
there's so many things I want to ask about. I'm trying to really pick and choose. In terms of cosmetics, is there one that stands out to you the most that, you know, for people who don't want to switch out all of their bathroom, like all of their cosmetics and shower products, is there one that specifically stands out to you? Or is it back to like, just look at what has fragrance in it and try to choose ones without the fragrance?
Do you mean like particular ingredients to look out for?
Particular, like whether it's toothpaste or deodorants or there's not like a particular one of those okay.
Which
that is
product
worse?
Is the worst one for
for
toxins. Yeah, I think anything fragranced again.
Okay.
I think the Environmental Working Group did a study and said that ladies on average exposed to 168 different chemicals per day through personal products.
Wow.
Just through like the use of something like 12 products, like so hairspray and makeup. And I would say anything that you're applying over a big portion of your skin, so like body lotion, right? So if mascara, for example, it's on your lashes and yes, it can get into your eyes, but it's a very, very tiny area.
Right.
Of course, try to look for non-toxic options if you can, but I would prioritize something that you're putting over your entire body, body lotion, shower gel, for example. So do that first and then kind of move through the different products. And again, think about whether you really, really need those products. Like, do we really need 5 different hair products, like a heating heating serum and I don't know, like all the different things that we've been conditioned to believe we need. But yeah, fragrance is a big one. And a lot of the products I use are not fragrance. And yeah, it takes getting used to. But now when I use someone else's that's fragrance, I get hit
You're
with a migraine.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like, why does it smell like this?
Yeah.
So your body starts to get to react to these chemicals after a while when you've been so clean.
So I think that's a great tip in terms of thinking of the things that you actually spread over more of your body. So like eyeliner, you know, maybe not the biggest deal, but if you're putting on super fragrancy body lotion every day and we also forget that our skin absorbs everything. It's a huge organ. And yes, maybe not everything, but a lot of things. So if we're lathering it all over us, it's an important one.
Exactly. And then, you know, and deodorants, wow, it's like, there's nothing wrong with sweating, right? Like sweating is good for us as a form of detoxification. It's important not to block sweat. We don't right. want the smell, but the smell is not the sweat itself. The sweat, the smell is coming from the bacteria reacting with our sweat, right? So yeah, you can maybe look for non-toxic deodorant that make you smell better, but we don't want to be using aluminum to block our sweat glands, right? That's it's not actually beneficial for us.
That's such a good point. That is a big detox mechanism in our body. And I think if we let ourselves sweat, then our sweat also starts not smelling so bad because, you know, it's not all blocked up
definitely.
In there.
Definitely. Right. And think about the products that's, are we altering the skin microbiome and therefore changing the smell of our sweat? Probably, right? If you're using these harsh chemicals on the sweat glands, the microbiome's changing and that's going to affect. And of course, you know, a lot of the smell is down to genetics as well and food can affect it. But I do hear of people when they kind of initially switch to non-toxic deodorant that the smell is bad and they have to like go through a period where the skin microbiome goes back to normal and they don't smell so bad anymore. So that's something to consider as well. And where we're putting deodorant is right by our breasts. And some tissue samples from breast biopsies have shown aluminum and parabens. And so we don't know, but there's some suggestion of a link between increased risk of breast cancer. So that's something to consider as well.
Yeah, better safe than sorry. And there are so many new companies coming out with non-toxic products and deodorants. There's actually a company that I wanted to try called Mother Dirt. And they are, I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're based, it's a deodorant that's based, it's like a bacterial spray that you have to keep in your refrigerator. So I think they're still testing things out and I'm not sure how well it works, but it's awesome that companies are moving that direction and giving us more options.
And I think that's the key to remember is that what you buy is super powerful, right? We are really powerful as consumers. Some people may think like, oh, what I say doesn't matter because they're still going to do what they do. No, it matters because when you spend your dollar, you're telling the companies what you want and the fact that you want them to care about the ingredients. And if you switch away and we stop buying things that are not good for us, that's why they start phasing out all these non-toxic products. Not because they have suddenly started to care about our health. It's because they want to maintain their profits.
Of course.
They're seeing that there's a trend, consumer trend towards non-toxic products. And so a lot of companies are making the move now because of consumer action. So what we do, it speaks volumes. So yeah
it makes that's a huge aspect. Difference. And makes a difference for ourselves, a difference for the environment, for, you know, everything. So if we can make the switch, I think for everyone who's listening, like if there's one thing you can swap, the thing that's easiest for you and makes most sense, then, you know, it's worth doing, whether it's cookware or some plastics. And if you can't do that yet, just opening your windows and getting some fresh air in your house.
It's one step at a time.
Thank you so much for being on here. This was so fun. And hopefully we didn't overwhelm anyone, but hopefully this, you know, empowered you guys to just take one step closer to non-toxic life. And thank you so much again, Vivian. I really appreciate it. And hopefully this will be live in the next couple of weeks.
Great. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much for having me, Kylie.
Thank you.
Up with the great work with all your educational content.
Thank you so, so, so much. Enjoy your day back. You have a full day back in
you
California.
Too.
So enjoy your day.
Yes. You too.
Bye.
Bye.